thank you for the blood of Jesus. God, that has washed us and cleansed us and made us every bit whole. Thank you for the knowledge of eternal workings, whereby we know the essence of all things having been consummated and completed. And the essence of your eternal work is that we are heirs of God, sons of God, heirs of that which belongs to Christ. God, we ask that you bless each and everyone under the sound of our voice, whether they are here in this auditorium or whether they may receive this through our webcast. We thank you and we praise you that you're always faithful to convey your goodness unto us. These blessings we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Today is what is traditionally observed in our communities as Easter. We're going to talk a little bit about that, but our focus is going to be on resurrection. Scripturally, as we look at this morning, we're going to bring in the ingression, actualization by God's decree in eternity, as it is scripturally distinguished from manifestations in time. That way we get the full benefit out of resurrection. It tells where we are, not where we're supposedly going. Because if we're on the way there, we might not get there. But from eternity, he has placed us in him, son position. We were chosen and placed there before the foundation of the manifestation of creation, way before physicality. In the essence of time, we are in a testimonial mode as it depicts in sequences to us what God has already done. Amen. So we are. Today we're going to talk about what resurrection is as it relates to God. And when we relate to God, we're always in the eternal mode. So we shall be focusing on what resurrection means in relationship. What resurrection means in relationship to who we are. And God's people cannot really appreciate God and give him praise without the full impact of who we are. Who he has made us. Who we were before we were ever encapsulated on a temporary basis, thing in these vile bodies. Amen. That's decaying. But we're more than who we seem to be in our bodies. Who we are in our bodies is temporary. Who we are in Christ is eternal.
Yes, amen. Thank God.
Who we are in these bodies can only carve the markings of time. Who we are in Christ as sons is our mantle of eternality, where everything actually resides and has. You were in Christ before you were ever in these bodies. Oh my God, hallelujah. We welcome those that are receiving this message through our webcast, our website, www.gracegospelministry.com.org. In the audio and video sector, you will find the message and some of our other documents. This past what they have termed Good Friday, we presented a document to you. It is finished, but when was it actualized? That document is in that sector. Also, I want you to take your bulletins, today's bulletin, and turn to the pastor's pen. That's why we didn't read it. We shall go through the essence of what is conveyed here. And prior to communion, we shall give instructions concerning communion, and there's a document in there that speaks of the Lord's Supper. What is it? Is it a sacrament? Is it something that you do looking for something? Or, amen. Is it a function of thanksgiving? Mm-hmm. Well, as often as you do this, what? In remembrance of me. You should, So it's about him. We'll get into that. Get into that a little later. Also, take your Bibles. Deacon Gavin is our designated reader this morning. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. There are many places we could go today. We are really, amen, kind of under the gun this morning. We got several other things, a couple other things to do. From your bulletin, Pastor's Pen, and for those that are watching or listening, document, repeat after me, Jesus eternally,
Jesus eternally
and manifestly,
resurrected
and alive.
And
you notice we have eternally first.
Yes.
God help us to think eternally first. Why would you think eternity first? That's like asking, why would you prioritize forever over temporary? Why is it more important for us to focus on resurrection from the standpoint of who we are? Now, as I've said, today is the traditional Easter, and my pastor used to always say, know what you're doing and what?
Why
you're doing it. Always know what you're doing and why you're doing it. Just not, don't do so. Some people went and spent a lot of money today to dress up, and as I look out among you, you all really, really look nice. And that's good. That's good. That's great. No. That's in order. Amen. As we observe this day, though, we go farther than what the world has traditionally set forth before us. Scripturally, they're way off base in many areas, and we're not here to fight that today. But always know, Christmas, Easter, most of these holidays started out traditionally in the pagan worship sense. And in the case of Easter, they were celebrating Esther, the goddess. And of course, they did many things and that we're not going to deal with this morning. We're not have time. Amen. But scripturally, many will go to the what so-called Gospels this morning, which is fine. Basically, our focus is eternally, so we're into the grace covenant. Everybody said the grace covenant.
The grace covenant.
Amen. Traditionally, Easter, because it from its origination, it was set for the turning of a season, like Christmas, set close to December the 21st, when they called it December the 26th as his birthday. They did even something more hilarious as it relates to Easter. Prior to AD 325, it was celebrated on different days, not necessarily on a Sunday. Did you know that? After the Council of Nicaea, it was set for Sunday, but then they could not agree on a date. And if it's tied to a certain calendar day, then it would always fall on that particular date. If it's tied to a traditional ceremony, whether it is a Sabbath or a high Sabbath, it would always fall on a certain day. And so they had a problem. So they compromised, and what they came up with, and how they came up with it, is something that, you know, is baffling. You start out with Ash Wednesday, and then 40 days after that, of course, that was a compromise too. The Ash Wednesday and the Good Friday, and see, we can't get into that all of that this morning, but 40 days after, and of course, as we have moved into the latter centuries, Fat Tuesdays become very popular, and that's when you gouge yourself so you don't get so hungry during the to make up for the time that during the Lent season you're going to be giving up something. So you just let it all hang out on that one day. Amen. We're not here to criticize that. What we are here to do is to focus on resurrection eternally. And when you focus eternally, you have taken it out of time. So we said Friday in the noonday instructions to you. God is timeless. And so in the eternal realm, we don't have to argue about whether he died on a Wednesday or Friday.
That's it. Thank God. Amen.
Even though you cannot get 3 days out of Friday and early Sunday morning. By the way, he did not say he rose early Sunday morning. We got different calendars. The Jewish calendar is from the evening to the evening. Our calendar goes from 12 midnight to 12 midnight. The Jewish calendar goes from 6 p.m. to 6 p.m. So they put him in the ground in a hurry to get him to the ground before 6 p.m. on Friday, there is no way you can get 3 days out of that. The closest we come to the biblical explanation is that it was a high Sabbath, which was on a Wednesday. So we go from 6 o'clock Wednesday to 6 o'clock Thursday. You got what?
One day.
6 o'clock Thursday to 6 o'clock Friday. You got what?
Two.
And they would have come back and got him, because the high Sabbath was over, but it ran into the weekly Sabbath. So they couldn't work then either. They couldn't do anything. So the women waited until the next morning. But from Friday evening, 6 p.m., to Saturday's evening 6 p.m. is what? 3 days. Any time after that, he rose. Now, we say early in the morning because that's when they got there. And usually, we think about a thing happening when we see it. There's some human documentation of it. And that's where that early in the morning, and boy, some preachers can really get down with that early. But we're not here to fight that or to criticize in any way the traditions. Anytime anybody's going to talk about resurrection, we're going to help them. A focus on Jesus, we're going to help them. Except we're going to have the instructions so that we'll know what we're doing and why we are doing it. One last point about Easter. What they came up with is they tied it to the solstice. And of course, we know we got this revolving calendar based upon solstice, and this is why you get 365 1/4 days. And so, I think it's every third or fourth year you get an extra day in there. You get April the 29th. And so that threw a monkey wrench into their dating. What did we end up with? 2004, April the 18th. 2005, March the 27th. 2006, April the 16th. 2007, April the 8th. 2008, March 23rd. 2009, April the 12th. 2010, April the 4th. 2011, April the 24th. 2012, April 8th, last year, on my birthday, March 31st, not even in April. So now we're going back to April this year, April the 20th. So, but we're not here. Our focus is the essence of resurrection and who we are in Christ. This is what our aim in conveying the grace of gospel is all about. To know who we are. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, basically I'm going to look at two verses there. The first one is the 14th verse and the next one is the 20th verse. And everyone turn there, please. This 15th chapter of Corinthians is pretty long. But it's got a lot of heavyweight material in it. It's not for the faint of heart, nor the slow in spirit, nor those who are saturated or inundated in physicality. Paul is speaking eternity. As he starts out, he talks about the gospel that he preached, which would be what? The grace gospel. Paul's message was different. Was to call it a mystery, that which was hid from generations until the now time, which would be the grace dispensation, it would have to be different. So, it is the preaching of Christ as the kingdom gospel is, and as even the law in its prophecy made strong allusions to. It is the essence of Christ according to that which was not known before. The mystery. Everybody said the mystery. And here we're not talking about some who shot who or who did what. Mystery is a mystery. The plane went down not too long ago, somewhere in the Indian Ocean or somewhere, they don't know. That's a mystery. But that's not what this mystery is. It is speaking about a volume of truth that God revealed to Paul that was not known, which is to be distinguished from the kingdom gospel that the disciples, actually John the Baptist, introduced according to what the prophecies were, and Jesus preached, and it details that which was never known before, because it speaks from the heavenly vantage point. In other words, it looks down, where in the other writings, the other covenants, their focus is around. The focus is earthly. This focus is from the heavenlies. And where are the heavenlies? In Christ. So you're into eternality, in the essence of eternality. So as we look through this, and we focus on this 15th verse, there are many things that he said, and we don't have time to go through. But I want to drop down Brother Deacon, let's start with verse 12. Everybody, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 12.
Reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning verse 12, King James Version. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead?
Well, because they basically are sightseers. And that's the difference. If I don't see it, maybe it's not real. Maybe it's not. But I didn't see it. I've said that. I didn't see it. That doesn't mean it isn't. Because I didn't see it. So, what is it we depend upon? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3, the same. All the ages were created, were and are created according or by a saying. When did he say it? In eternity. So that the thing that we see is not, it's not the origination of what's appearing. So what develops doesn't come out of the scene. Comes out of the same. Comes out of the same. God said it. That's why it is. That's the only reason it is. That's the only possible way it can ontologize or exist, is that God said it.
Yes. Amen.
Read.
Verse 13. But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen.
Okay, now, here the case Paul is going to make. We have to jump around a little bit. As I said, we've got some other things to do this morning. But as we look at this, if we're focusing on time, much of this is not going to make sense. I went to 3 homegoings or funerals this week. 3. This past week. Sunday, Tuesday, and yesterday. And what seems through the seeing to be finality in time is actually the introduction, conscious-wise, into the eternal realm. That word death, as we shall deal with in a minute, thanatos, means separation. So here in some of these verses, wherein is translated death, it wasn't thanatos, so Paul couldn't, so even the translator couldn't say death or separation. He had to say sleep. Which means in conscious, you're not where you really are. I think most of us were unconscious for a while last night. Until the morning. I knew I was. Amen. I'm told somebody came by my house to pick up something, and I know nothing about it. They told me about it this morning. But this is where we are in time. We are unconscious in relationship to eternity.
Right.
But the benefit is, in eternity, we are conscious of it all.
Yes.
In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. Actually, not verse 1, but in that passage there, Paul speaks of being separated. Which means separated from the body. And that's all it means. So pass the day. That's a biggie. That's a biggie in time.
In time.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We feel it. We miss our loved ones. Mm-hmm. But the great part about it is that we're not going to stay here. So Pastor, I thought we were going to talk about resurrection. We are. Conscious-wise, the only separation is from time, from physicality. Conscious-wise, we come into an awareness of where we have been all the time. I raised a question a couple of Sundays ago.
Thank God. Yes. Hallelujah.
Where were you in 1250? I say, I wasn't. I wasn't. Yes, you were. Where were you in 3000 B.C.? I wasn't. Yes, you were. Ephesians 1 and 4, according to we did what?
Chose us in him before the creation or foundation of the world.
Being holy and blameless.
Being holy and blameless.
Before him. That word holy simply means separated. The choice is what separated you, and you are in him. Resurrection to become aware. When we are separated from these bodies,
bring it up.
Our conscience becomes aware of who we really are.
Yes.
Says to be absent from the body is what?
Present with the Lord.
Not somewhere soul sleeping, hoping the Lord wake you up. The essence of resurrection is alive. We're alive. And they didn't understand our Lord when he said, believe it to me, shall never die. Never be separated from me. How can you?
That's right.
before time, before creation, before you were formed in the womb of your mother's belly. Yes, yes. He knew you. Yes, yes. He foreknew you. Yes. Because you belong to him. Yes. Oh, we think we belong to one another. We're actually on loan to one another. We belong to the Lord. Give him a praise this morning. So we must take a realistic look to really get the benefits and the joy out of resurrection. We must focus on what it really means. Brother Deacon, keep reading.
Verse 14.
Mm-hmm.
And if Christ be not risen,
mm-hmm.
then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain.
Well, we're standing up here talking about this morning. It's useless. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. If you're not alive in Christ. Listen to what I'm saying. Paul is going a little deeper here. If you are not alive in Christ, then our preaching is in vain. If there's no essence of you some position in Christ, then our preaching is a fraud. Because we're saying something that is not. And you might as well just eat, drink, and be merry, because tomorrow you die. And that's not going to be long. Not in comparison to forever. All right, for the sake of time, that clock is always beats me up. Verse 20. Everybody drop down. And of course, what it says now, because, well, I guess, you could just read it out. Just keep, go back to verse, start in verse 15 and read up to verse 20. And I'll try not to comment. Try. Hard, real hard. Read. Everybody got verse 15, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Amen. All right, follow along.
Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not.
Mm-hmm.
16. For if the dead rise not, then is Christ not raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain.
Mm-hmm.
Ye are yet in your sins.
Mm-hmm.
Then they also which are fallen asleep.
I got to say something. You know this? Why you know why he had sleep there? Because the Greek word thanatos, a separation, is not in that verse. We refer to them as being unconscious because we're looking at a carcass. Mm-hmm. We're looking at the remains, as we call it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They're more conscious than we are. It's just that it's not in the physical realm. It's an eternality.
Yes, yes.
You notice in that, what's that, Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians, chapter 4? Mm-hmm. Paul speaks, he said, he comes to get those that are alive and remain as far as in physicality. Mm-hmm. What about those that are asleep in him, he brings with him. What's that, about 16, 17, 18 verse? Go check it out. Mm-hmm. Not everybody laying in the grave and then, if you've been good enough, he wakes you up.
Jesus.
No, instantaneous. And it's strange. You hear the word, you call the one that is passed on, we call them late. They're not late, they're early. We're late because we're still here. They're preceding us.
Yes, yes, yes.
The person that goes first is never late. Oh, my God. Pastor, you're taking the light? No, 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 no. In the physical realm and in time, amen, these things are impactful. But what mitigates it is the knowledge. That the body is destroyed. But the individual isn't.
Yes, amen.
Paul, in that 2 Corinthians chapter 5, he says, as it relates to those passing on, indeed, a sense. This earthly physical body, I'm just paraphrasing it, and you have the subjunctive aorist there, maybe haven't been destroyed. You see, he separates the body from you, the physical body. So we have what? A building of God. Not physical.
Amen. Thank you.
And you notice he used the present tense. So the searing of my physical consciousness, it initiates the awakening of my spiritual consciousness. That's what resurrection is. In other words, Paul said, we don't wish to be unclothed, but clothed upon. That's the way the translation. We don't wish or have preference of the physical bodies, but that which overshadows physicality. This is what he's saying. The essence of a body of which we are a member. And a consciousness of knowing exactly who we are.
Yes.
And have been.
Yes.
And always have been.
Yes.
And eternity.
Yes.
Are in Christ. If that's not true, when you're separated, you're on your own. Somewhere out there in the cosmos. Or maybe, as I used to hear him say, when I'm dead, I'm done. No, you're not. Now, if that's not true, then we're wasting time talking about resurrection this morning. Our consciousness. Our hope. And hope means what? Earnest expectations. What you can depend upon. You don't have to close our eyes and wonder what's next. Oh, men of God's people. Gonna have to close their eyes and wake up in the arms of Jesus to finally appreciate him of who he is. And that all of this was just a testimonial interlude. And that the real deal is where it's always been. Oh, give him a praise. That's encouraging to me. I just hit my 70th birthday, and man, I all kind of things. This body, I'm telling you, I'm surprised if I wake up in the morning now and there is no pain somewhere. Huh. Forget things. I'll never forget that time I was all over the place looking for my glasses. You know where they were? Somebody sit up. I I don't know whether you call that a senior moment or what, but I think sometimes I look at the young people, I think they have a senior moment, a youth moment. But that's just the way it is. But we have something to earnestly look for and expect. Read, Brother Deacon.
Verse 18. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perish.
Mm-hmm. That's if there is no resurrection. If that's it, that's it. Mm-hmm. And somebody was said they were facing death and they said to themselves, well, that's it. Mm-hmm. No, that's not. Depends upon what it is. Mm-hmm. If you're talking about separation from this life, that's it. If you talk about resurrection in eternal life, now that's the big it. That's the essence of where you go back to where you actually were and it never left. This is why, isn't it? Those in Christ, they're what? New creations. All things are past. Behold, all things what? Are new. Are, not will be. All things are in originality.
Amen.
Read.
19. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable.
We're pitiful. We're pitiful. They're out there getting as much as they can, as long as they can, because they know that that's it. We're saying that's not it. This is not it. We're preaching that this is not it. Mm-hmm. What you're involved in now is not it.
It's not it.
But there's an it worth longing for.
Hallelujah.
And looking forward to.
Mm-hmm.
Read.
But now is Christ risen from the dead.
Mm-hmm.
And become the first fruit of them that slept.
Okay, let's go to the Greek on that one. Now, those who are watching, if you don't have a Greek interlude here at the Greek at the Grace Gospel Church, we utilize it because he has the Greek scripting from the manuscript copies there, and so his feet are held closer to the fire. He can't vary too much without some type of book note or footnote there. Read.
1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 20, from the interlinear Greek text. But now...
Stop! Nini! 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 Now! Everybody said now.
Now.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That one's gone. So that Paul wasn't talking about that. That's the now. That's not the now he was talking about. He was talking eternally.
Mm-hmm.
He was talking about what is. What was and is. And we'll get to that in a minute. Keep reading.
But now Christ has been raised.
Stop. You have the Greek verb there, eiete, which, Brother Deacon, Jim, you all got you. I know you got you. Well, I guess we push for time. It's in the perfect tense. What's the indicative mood?
Back.
What's the perfect tense? Was is a it is completed action with what? So that's translated was and is. So Christ was and is. No, he didn't die 2,000 years ago. That was the manifestation of it.
That's right.
We dealt with that Friday. From the beginning. Through his declaration and his decree and him saying it. So you have the death and the resurrection all in one package. Wasn't this what?
Has been raised from dead.
Out of dead what?
First fruit of the having fallen asleep.
Mm-hmm. Read.
For since through a man...
Well, let's stop there. That time is gone. Were that Greek verb there, that last one, it's in the perfect tense. Middle of the passive voice. Herki minanon. It is maki mimenon, which is in the passive voice. The middle of passive voice, it's in the perfect tense. It's translated, were and are sleeping. So you have the beginning and the end all in one scene. Lost and saved. We don't have time, but in the 43rd and 44th verse, you might write that down. You get one package. Lost and saved, one package.
Yes, amen.
Dead and alive. What?
In one package.
One package. There was no question as to whether Jesus was going to get up because he was already up. He was up before he laid down.
Hallelujah.
Because it's all one and the same. In the same of God. This is what this is conveying to us. So that's what resurrection is.
Yes.
Let's go to our pastor's pen bulletin. I want to read through this right quickly. So now, we're straight on resurrection? Repeat after me. Resurrection is?
Resurrection is?
Awareness. That I'm alive, in Christ. Right now. That's what resurrection is. So it's speaking of us alive in Christ. And that's where you are more than you are in these bodies on Sunday afternoon, April the 20th, 2014. Because if you tie us down to a minute or a moment, it's passing. So when he says, Nini, and now, he's talking about who you are. Who I am is where who I've always been as a chosen elect of God in Christ. That's what resurrection means. Everybody say, I'm alive. All right. Again, Jesus eternally manifestly resurrected and alive. And hopefully those that are listening, you have this document. The resurrection of Christ is most evident through its spiritual internalization. As this is the only reliable way to authenticate it as the cardinal faith in the doctrines of the gospel. In essence, as we have read, if Christ is not risen, our faith is vain. 1 Corinthians 15 and 14. The crux of the new covenant, which is different from the grace covenant, its relation rests entirely on its historical fact. The chief testimony of it in the kingdom gospel was conveyed on the day of Pentecost, wherein Peter argued the necessity of Christ's resurrection from the prediction in Psalm 16. Here we reference Acts chapter 2, verse 24-28. In his own discourse, also the Lord Jesus clearly intimates his resurrection. Here we have a litany of scriptures there that you can follow. According to the character of the kingdom law dispensation, 10 different appearances in testimony of his resurrection are recorded in various passages of the Bible. It's all testimony based upon what? Seeing. Among them, Mary Magdalene at the sepulchre. To certain women, the other Mary and others as they return from the sepulchre. To Simon Peter on the day of the resurrection. To the disciples, both when Thomas was first absent and then present, as well as others with them. And to the apostles immediately before Jesus, that is the kingdom apostles, ascension, who accompanied him from Jerusalem to Mount Olive and there saw him ascend to a cloud, receive him out of their sight. And here we have documentation for all of this. Yet, listen to me, even in light of all of these witnesses, eyewitnesses I might say, according to the stipulation of the new covenant and the fulfilled prophecy of all of that documentation, listen, such testimony is not the underlying basis for our belief in the risen Christ today. And what do we depend upon? The eternal source of information that Jesus is alive is evidenced in the grace dispensation. It resides in testimony by the divinely imparted faith of those who are in eternity positioned in the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 15, the Apostle Paul makes reference to some eyewitnesses. Accounts, for example, to the 11 and above 500 brothers at once. In this sixth verse, to James and other unknown circumstances, under unknown circumstances. In the seventh verse. And finally, to Saul himself. Christ's manifestation of himself at Damascus. An apparition, because he saw something of the risen Savior. But our gospel does not operate on sight. Paul writes to these same Corinthians as it relates to seeing and faith. What did he say? We don't walk by, we walk by what? We don't walk by sight. We don't walk by appearances. We don't live that weak word peripatia. We don't live by what we see. By faith. Everybody said by faith. Here Christ's resurrection is conveyed in the manifestation of public testimonies of relief from his earthly undertakings of this plan, the surety and evidence of God's eternal work of redemption as the victory over death and the grave on behalf of his elect. Thus, the ultra importance of Christ's resurrection can be ascertained in considering that if he rose, the gospel is true. And if he was not raised, it is false. His resurrection from the dead makes it manifest that his sacrifice was accepted. So that's the testimony aspect. Our justification was secured by his obedience to death, and therefore he was raised from the dead. His resurrection is the proof that he made full reconciliation for our sins, that his sacrifice was acceptable as satisfactory to divine justice, and his blood a ransom for his elect sinners. It's also a pledge and an earnest of the resurrection of all of his elect. But notice here, this is not all based upon what was seen. Actuality of Jesus Christ's death was enacted by God's decree in eternity. Here we reference Revelations 13 and 8. When was the lamb slain? From the foundation of the world.
Yes.
Which is not 2,000 years ago. So we're dealing with the saying, and we're dealing with the essence of eternality and the vantage point of things as they relate to God and him having decreed it. Oh my God, we're already there. Do you know that? We're already there. Our consciousness are locked into sequences of time. The unlocking of our conscience gives us the awareness that we're already there. I've seen some people, I've seen two types of situations with people facing death. I've seen some with morbid fear. And I've seen some in serenity and peace. You know what the difference is? What you think is ahead. But we want to know. It's already there. Say it's already there.
It's already there.
In Christ. We're already there. Got to worry about wars, rumors of wars, and somebody would say, oh, if Russia invades Ukraine, there might be another war. I'm not worried about any of that. Nor do I get upset. Somebody said to me, I don't read Revelation because it upsets me. No. That's not you. We're out of here before anything that occurs there, the man of sin being revealed. We're gone. We're out of here. We're extricated, and our consciousness of the wellness is in Christ. That's what saved means. Saved means safe. Everybody say we're safe.
We're safe.
Finalize this now. This proved that we're alive in him, and if Christ did not rise, the entire gamut of redemption is a failure. With all these predictions and anticipations of his glorious results for time as well as his ultimate ontological, that is, actualized essence in eternity, are proved to be a mere illusions. But we know better than that, don't we? I hope that we live in hope and anticipation. We believe that the only authentication for resurrection, listen, is the conveyance to our alive spirits by what? The Holy Spirit. It's spirit to spirit. How do you know that you belong to God? How do you know you're saved? The Holy Spirit conveys to your spirit that you're the child of God. Romans chapter 8. And with that, repeat after me the last quote there. And now Christ has been raised out from the dead.
Christ has been raised out from the dead.
The first fruit
of those
having been sleeping.
Glory.
Repeat after me again. We're already there. That's what resurrection means.
Hallelujah.
Give God a praise.
Yay!